Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, the Hooded Round Beer Tent, Nocalo, and Netball. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that has been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by newshound Jess Ward.
Hello.
And Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
It's a very select gathering today for the podcast, isn't it?
Yes.
We're two down. Now, producer Emma, most of you won't know, actually sits with us for every podcast recording, doesn't she? She's like the overlord or an exam invigilator.
She's That's like a little creature in the...
She's like that in the office as well. She'll walk around just
checking everything.
The observer.
Everyone's got those see-through pencil cases, not chewing or anything written on their arms, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But she's away, isn't she?
She is.
And Sam, the ray of sunshine that comes to every podcast, is also away. He's in Spain, isn't he?
Sunny Spain, which is growing on him.
Yes, that was what you just said.
He wasn't happy at all going over.
No, he wasn't, but he's been there nearly a week now, and he said, it took a while, but I'm warming up to it.
I think it's the cheap alcohol.
Yeah, but isn't he back? Like,
He has said he's sent us a postcard from
Spain.
No
way!
Yep, so we've got that to look forward to.
Old school. Absolutely old school. How's your week been, Jess? Good?
It's been fabulous, yes.
Apart from the fact it is actually Thursday night recording, but you thought it was Friday.
I thought it was Friday, yeah. I got so mixed up, yeah. And I was really excited because I got a bottle of wine from the office for the Go Green supplement. And I was like, yes, can crack into that tonight. But, you know, it's another working day. So.
Well, Friday. Not like it's done in here on a Friday, is it?
Don't put these restrictions on yourself.
Had a good week, Katie?
I have, yes. It's been a great week, especially because today the Go Green feature came out in the Manx Independent.
Mm. Yeah, it's our new feature, isn't it? Go on, because Jess, it's sort of your baby, really, isn't it?
It's my little baby.
So you want to explain it, what it is, to the people that are listening?
Yeah, so it's a new feature, like Katie said, featuring individuals, schools, and initiatives that are kind of leading the island in a movement towards like sustainable differences, I suppose. And so we talked to people like Rowan Henthorne, who is a marine biologist who works at the Department of Environment, and she kind of gives us her story of working at the Great Garbage Patch in the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, wow.
And some other, we've got some really good tips as well on how to make some better choices. So like,
yeah, about sustainable cleaning habits.
Mm. Ooh, that sounds,
yeah, because you know, spring cleaning. We're in that kind of season now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, maybe slightly. Although, I have to say, you're right. We are in spring cleaning season because I know technically we're sort of finishing spring, aren't
it's
we?
It's coming to the end of it.
But anyone who has homestay for TT knows this is the time you're really spring cleaning.
Oh, yes. Could that's be us soon, at the minute. Yeah. The Ward family. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So that was, this is a 16-page supplement, isn't it? It's wonderfully put together by Emma Cook, who does some bits for us, and it's in The Independent this week. But if you want to just have a look at it aside from The Independent, it is on our digital.
Yeah, I mean, you can actually go to iomtoday.co.im, click Digital Editions, and you'll actually see the picture for Go Green at the bottom. You can just click on that and it opens the 16 pages, so you don't even have to buy an independent. Encourage you to buy it because there's great news content in The Independent.
And sport. News and sport. Yes. And entertainment. There's just,
it's just so much going on in that little paper.
Yeah. I love The Independent.
Is that
it's a good one.
It's my favourite. This week it's definitely my favourite.
72 pages as well.
Flip.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, flip.
But right. I feel like this week the news content and sports content has just been phenomenal. Like, you just skip through it and you're like, oh, wow. Like, some of the things are pretty surprising. Like, David Attenborough's written to the Isle of Man's children, and there's also going to be a Bollywood film maker who's coming over to film the TT, and that's going on. And you've had your netball, but you're going to speak about that later.
Yeah, the netball, which, you know,
that's a big one.
It is a big one, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Just before we move on and talk about our first news story of the week, I just want to go back to that David Attenborough writing to the kids in the Isle of Man.
Yeah.
Now, how did he do that? Because that's a lot of kids. Did he got, like, three stamps?
No, So this was through one particular student from Arbury School,
right.
Brescia Jenkins, and she wrote to David Attenborough because she's the head of the Eco Council of her school.
Eco.
Eco, sorry. my New Zealand ways. At least that's my excuse. So she wrote to him and he replied. So yeah, it was really nice. And it's basically kind of encouraging them to keep going in their efforts to stop plastic, to reduce their plastic intake, I suppose, in terms of like what they're using in the school and also in their daily lives.
Has someone told him about the secondary schools on the island and the bottled water?
I'm not sure.
He's probably saw it in his Alaman newspaper's subscription.
I bet he reads it online.
Yeah, I reckon if you went through our subscription database, I'm sure there'll be a D. Attenborough in there somewhere.
But
I know you can't reveal that because of GDPR.
But
I'm sure if you went in there, there'd be...
Can't confirm or deny there isn't one.
Exactly.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
First news story of the week, Jess, and we go to what was our breaking news last
as we
podcasted last week, and that was the news about the Hooded Ram won't be having its TT beer tent at the Bottleneck car park this year.
Yeah, that's right. So so basically they weren't granted a full alcohol license for the venue, but they do pledge to come back next year. So the problem was that they'd failed in their application to have the space, and they didn't get a designated official for the event, and they were also it was the High Bailiff Jane Hughes who said that the company had acted in an unprofessional and unacceptable manner because they hadn't had their contract signed for security staff or the marquee provider and all sorts of things. So Bushy's boss, and I hope I pronounce this
Martin
right.
Brunschweiler, let's not just
I don't want to butcher that. I'll respect him enough not to do that. So he says that it's actually going to be a bad blow for the TT. So we've got more on that. I don't want to reveal it all, you know. So that's in the Examiner, and that's on pages 2 and page 3.
Yeah, I have to say, although he's not here, but he did work very hard on that story,
Sam.
He left. So he's got loads of content on that. And I know Adrian helped him, did a bit with the reaction from Martin.
That's right, yeah.
But at the moment, it looks like there's going to be nothing there apart from a car park for TT.
That's it.
The council have said that's at the moment that's what it's going to be, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite sad because for many years it's always had something. And I think there was one year in particular, I can't remember which year it was, where they didn't have anything. But it feels like something's missing with the TT environment, really.
I guess it'll make a big difference for people who actually are coming over on the boat, and they get off the boat and you used to be able to just see everyone in that area, and it looked like there was lots, like, so much happening, and now there's just gonna be cars.
It kind of got your excitement up for it,
and it's gonna be even more busier at the Villa Marina and the Bushies.
It's gonna be pumping, and it was pumping last year too, wasn't it?
Absolutely pumping.
So I wonder if
everybody's pumping.
But I thought maybe, I mean, it's probably not ever gonna happen, but maybe getting part of the fair in that area.
That's a good shout. Yeah, the fair. Yeah, the fair.
The fear.
Everyone's got
all
the
right,
fear.
All right, guys, pipe down.
After a few pints, everyone has the fear, don't they? So, but that fair has been confirmed this week as well. I think you might be right. Maybe they will look to move it a bit more along the prom because it usually just sits on the front.
Yeah, that's right.
But then again, maybe they'll be like, well, you can make a few quid from car parking over.
Yeah, that's true. Who knows?
So, developer, I'm sure Sam is the man that loves a car park story, so I'm sure
he'll be... Anything to do with transport.
Have you seen... We have a WhatsApp group, don't we?
And
he's been constantly updating with Manx News, even though he's in Spain this week.
He has. He's even promoted the Go Green supplement on his Facebook page. I was like, wow.
What a man. But he'll be back next week. I'd be interested to see if he's brought us any, like, tat.
I hope he's bringing us some sort of souvenir.
Yeah, that would be really nice.
I mean, a postcard's nice, but I want presents.
Katie's demands.
I like it in presents.
That'll be the quote of the podcast this week. Right, moving on. We're going to move to the west of the island and the Knock Alo internment camp. And a new visitor centre is open there, isn't it? We've discussed it on the podcast before. I mean, we said the plans were in place and there was an opening, some arts.
Yeah, that's right. And the descendants had come all around the world pretty much to come and see the centre before it opened, but now it's finally opened.
Yeah.
And I went down myself and I had a look, and it's really, really nice. Like, the displays are absolutely stunning with the portraits of the internees and the workers. And they've also got some of the like bits and bobs of what the internees had made themselves, or like letters. So there's a really cool chess set that's been hand-carved by an internee, which is there. And yeah, just the space is really well filled. So basically, this is a way for these descendants and workers' stories to be told in a way that is more permanent. And there's interactive elements to it as well. And it's like right opposite the site of where it was all happening.
So just to clarify, it's in the old schoolhouse in Dalby, isn't it?
Yeah, well, in Patrick.
Patrick, sorry.
Yeah. So and that actually had its part to play within the internment camp as well. I think it was a courts, and so the inquests happened there too.
Right.
In my piece, I've spoken to Dawn Kenick, whose great-great-grandfather, Carl Falbusch, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right. Sorry if I'm not. She talks about him, and the story is amazing. So basically, he was from Germany. He moved to the UK, and then because Germans were seen as the enemy, they had him interned over here. And in the end, I mean, you can read about it, but in the end, they kind of assessed all the prisoners and decided whether or not they could stay in the UK or the British Isles, or if they had to be sent back home. And it was decided he was going to go back to Germany, even though he hadn't lived in Germany for absolute years, and he never saw his family again.
That's
including his wife and his children, who stayed in the UK.
So was there many people there when you went to see it on?
Yeah, the room in which the kind of event of ribbon cutting took place was absolutely crammed. And that was, the ribbon itself was cut by four people whose granddads and ancestors basically had been part of the camp life.
And is it open now?
Yeah, so it's open. So it's open on Wednesdays to Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
And do we think, you've probably got maybe a lot of people that are related to people that have been in there, and they're probably going to come over and maybe have a look at it soon.
Well, that's part of the charm, really, is that they now have this area where they can come in and discover more about their family, but also contribute to it as well. So if they want to get in touch, they can go to the website, it's nokalo.im, and find out more that way.
I think I certainly go and make a trip out west to see that.
Yeah.
Talking of people making a trip over to the Isle of Man, last week the Isle of Man was swept up with netball fever, Jess.
Oh, it was.
I know you regularly catch the bug every Sunday morning in the season.
I love it so much, yes, and I've got my summer netball as well, which I'm going to tonight. So,
well, if we finish on time,
yeah,
if we stop swearing.
Yeah.
So the last weekend was the Netball Europe Open Challenge, was held in the Isle of Man. There was seven teams, I think, and the Isle of Man involved. Mm-hmm. The Isle of Man only went and flipping won it, didn't they?
They did an amazing job, honestly. The score was 57-45.
They beat Ireland in the winner-takes-all decider. Mm-hmm. Just to explain a bit, the UK Armed Forces Netball Association and the Cayman Islands were also involved in the tournament, but because geographically they come from outside of Europe, and obviously the UK Armed Forces is a separate entity as well, they weren't actually counted within the main competition. So although the UK Armed Forces won all their matches, including a narrow win over the Isle of Man on, I think, Friday, maybe it was. They, Isle of Man, beat everyone else, so they won the overall championship.
That's so cool.
So I spoke to captain and your coach,
Ashley Hall,
after the success against Ireland on Sunday, and I also spoke to one of the organisers, chief organisers, Pip Cross, who's the Manx Netball Association president. So we'll have a listen to what they're both quite emotional after the victory, and it was amazing in the NSC on Sunday. The atmosphere was amazing. I went down and watched, and it was brilliant. So we'll have a listen to what they had to say now.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Ashley Hall, captain of the European Open Champions. How's that sound?
Sounds amazing. It's, we thought it was in our reach, but I don't think we quite believed it till today.
You've done it the tough way. You know, you were behind against Ireland and you fought back today, and then Gibraltar last night, that was another ding-dong battle.
I'd like to say we were trying to give the crowd a good show, but the other teams were just fantastic. They really brought it, and we believed in ourselves, and we were right to do so.
It's a game of patience, netball, isn't it? And there was times just had to believe in what you were doing. It was the way it was going to win it for you, and you did in the end today. That purple patch in the third quarter was seeing where the game turned today. When you, I think you scored about six goals without reply.
Yeah, I think yeah, we're just, it was a total team effort. I think everyone around us was just doing their job, and if one person slipped up, there was another one there to pick it up. There was, I just think everyone just stood out as a team.
And it was five newcomers in the squad, but you couldn't tell,
really.
Jess Morwood in particular stood out over the tournament, but everyone's played their part, hasn't he?
Everyone stepped up. Everyone that hit the court has really stepped up their game. And I think it's in part to the event that's been put on, and everyone wants to step up and show the Isle of Man at its best and really do their bit for this competition and netball.
And you just mentioned the tournament, the organisers as well. A word for Pip, it's gone amazingly well, hasn't it?
Pip and every volunteer have done an outstanding job. None of us could have dreamed that it could have been this good, and all we're hearing is positives from the other teams about how well the organisation is and everything that's been done for them on this island.
And when we spoke at the sport, you talked about maybe the pressure of playing in front of a home crowd, but they were almost like an eighth player for you today. When the support has been unbelievable, even when you're watching on YouTube.
They were our player of the match was the crowd. Yeah.
And what can this do for Isle of Man netball? And obviously, there's going to be a big buzz about it. Probably it's a shame it's the end of the season, because the buzz around netball now is probably bigger than ever over here.
Yeah, I'm sure we can keep it up. There's netball things going on over the summer.
And there's a World Cup as well.
There is, yes. So we'll be at that supporting. Yeah, it's just all happening for netball everywhere and on the Isle of Man.
So, Pip, we stand here after the Isle of Man has just taken the European title. You're beaming, I'm beaming. It was a fantastic performance, wasn't it?
Absolutely amazing. I'm really very emotional as well, to be honest. But, you know, absolutely amazing. We couldn't ask for anything more from those girls. Absolutely outstanding.
I was just spoken to Ash, and she said, and I suggested they may have done it the hard way a bit a couple of times there, but she said, well, we're trying to give the crowd some entertainment, and they've certainly had that, haven't they?
They've had a brilliant time. And the crowd have been fantastic, and, you know, the girls have to deal with that as well.
Yeah.
Because, again, you know, first time in an international arena with the crowd, with that support, the oohs and the ahs and the cheers and everything, absolutely amazing.
The tournament itself seems to have gone off without a hitch. You know, everyone seems to have had really positive feedback. Everyone's been watching it on YouTube or even themselves down here, but it seems to have gone amazingly well. You must be really proud of your team's efforts.
Hugely, hugely proud, you know, in terms of that, you know, the volunteers that have come out and given so much time to support the event. Obviously the sports centre staff as well. We could have sold this arena, you know, twice over at least. You know, everybody's wanting to come down. People are asking, well, can they buy tickets for the closing ceremony, because they want to come and applaud the girls, you know, and all the teams, to be fair, you know, because it's been such a showcase of netball this weekend. Absolutely brilliant.
So after tomorrow, when you've probably had a lie down for about three or four days, what's next and what can we expect?
We'll have under 17s to look forward to in March. Hopefully something for under 19s, 21s towards the end of the year. And hopefully something here very soon. You know, we've obviously the sponsors have heavily invested in this floor, so we need to use it. So hopefully it won't be too long before we can roll that out again and put on another performance.
And I said to Ashley, this will do wonders for Manx netball, won't it? You know, people come down, domestically, you know, we should see a sort of burgeoning of players in the domestic.
Well, our league, our affiliation numbers have grown in terms of junior numbers by 25%. In the last 12 months, which again is massive. If you consider, you know, the girls that we maybe lose to go to university, at the end of each season, it's great that we can sustain that growth. And you're right, there are girls here desperate, you know. And also there are girls here, you know, who've been ball girls and who will be flag bearers, who will be so inspired by this. And, you know, and thinking one day it could be them. And, you know, it's our chance to shine as, you know, as role models for these youngsters coming up.
And I'm sure it makes all the hard work of getting into the INF and Netball Europe in the first place worthwhile, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And again, I think we said yesterday that, you know, huge thanks to Netball Europe for having the faith in us to do this. You know, I think we pulled it off.
Yeah, massively. Yeah.
So, you know, and we've done everybody proud, I think. So I couldn't ask for anything more.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
So we talked in that piece about Jess maybe inspiring the next generation of netball players and maybe getting people back into the game that maybe have gone. Do you reckon that might happen after that? A bit of a legacy for the tournament?
I absolutely think so. I mean, for something that major to happen in the Isle of Man, I know netball is a very popular sport, but I think something like that, putting the Isle of Man onto the world stage a little bit more in that specific sport, is just going to be incredible. I mean, and also having interests of, you know, England netball players, like Ashley Hall's sister.
Jay Clark, she was there watching on Sunday. Yeah. 2 rows away.
Yeah, well, I mean, I know...
Spot in the stars.
So I know that's just going to inspire younger girls. But I really also hope younger boys in a way, because I know when I was growing up, some boys would play netball, and I think, why not?
Katie, you've been inspired to play netball?
I used to love netball at school. I love playing netball. Mm. And then you just stop, unless you join a club. But I think it definitely would encourage people to get back into the sport outside of school.
Mm. Yeah, well, from my experience, because I've only just started playing netball again. But yeah, it's just such an inclusive feeling. And even when you're playing against other teams, you don't get that horrible, you know, catty kind of feeling towards it, you know, the general stereotype. Yeah, no, I absolutely enjoyed it, and I would encourage people to get on board, really.
I think we should put the as you said before, the Manx League is very popular, and there's enough divisions and teams in it that will find your level, won't you? There's not, I think I was looking at, because Israel were one of the teams that were playing at the weekend, and they ended up with the wooden spoon, unfortunately, but they've only got 5 clubs in the Israeli Netball League.
That's for the whole country of Israel.
Yeah. So,
that's insane.
But when you think about that and compared to the Alman,
I don't know how many we have, but we have so many. I didn't realise. When I was choosing which team I would play for, I felt very overwhelmed because there are so many
divisions. Would have your like pros and cons lists of every
I honestly did, yeah. It was very close to... Well, I went with Bellicella in the end, but it was close to... I think it was DQ Advocates. Oh, but I'm really happy.
Obviously,
it took a few weeks. I was like, which one? But no, I'm really glad with the decision I made. And the girls I play alongside are just, incredible. And I mean, I have Ashley Hall, who's the captain. And
I've got Jane Ryder-Clegg.
Who also that same week won her... I saw a video, actually, of her winning the mum's race title at a child's school. And she's like an absolute flash of lightning.
Yeah.
So, just to have people like that on my team. I mean, obviously, they're higher division... Well, higher kind of group than I am. But just to look at them and see how well they're doing, it's just,
So have you been inspired or want to hear more about this netball success last week? There was, I think we did 3 pages on it in the Examiner this week, and there's tons on online as well. And Manx Netball Association's very well populated Facebook page is always a good place to start if you want to have a look at that. Right, Sam's not here, so it's up to... Katie, you've picked up the baton with This Week in History, haven't you?
I have, yes.
And we've gone back... A mere 6 years.
Because some of these files where we keep the front pages, they're very high up.
Oh, okay.
And so I grabbed the one struggle. I could reach, which is why we've got this particular year.
So we've got a Manx Independent from May the 16th to the 23rd, 2013. Now, there is a potent mix of stories on the front page. We'll kick off with the story about the London... Lifeline in jeopardy, which was concerns about the Gatwick flights or slots being sold, wasn't it? Which is quite odd because we talked about the Heathrow.
We got it back,
and then we're potentially going to lose it again.
Yeah, because it's only during the summer until October, I think it was. Yeah.
So this was the Flybee story. Adrian wrote about the Flybee's Gatwick route at the time and the possibility of it becoming to an end. And obviously, it did. in full time, and EasyJet took over the route, didn't they?
Yes.
So we have that route back. But yeah, the usual comments from Travel Watch saying we're extremely concerned at this news, but not entirely surprised. I think it's quite serious because obviously we've raised concerns previously about open skies and looked at the moment that we feared is likely to happen. But of course, as we said, Gatwick is now serviced by EasyJet. The other main story on the front page that week, Jess?
Yes, this is quite a cool one. So this is Pinewood to stage robot invasion.
Right, so Pinewood, the Alman government invested in for a little while with our reserve money. And
so it's like a film kind of company?
Yes, Pinewood Studios. They used to famously make James Bond as their big title. Have you heard of it, Jess? but yes, they were going to bring in a production over here, weren't they, Katie?
Yes.
And the leads were?
They were Gillian Anderson, who we'll know off of X-Files. And she's in Sex Education on Netflix at the moment, which is hilarious.
Didn't she do that one in Northern Ireland? The Fall. I loved that. Yeah.
That was so good. Oh, there's actually a connection with this film and The Fall.
Okay.
Because they used some of the same locations to film this robot invasion film.
She just changed costumes. As they did. Perhaps that's the way it's going too, for one. You just get the actress. Right, we'll do one film with this costume, swap you over and do it in the other, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Cut back costs. Save a lot of money.
Yeah.
The other lead was?
Sir Ben Kingsley.
Famously was in the Street Fighter movie.
Yeah, he's super famous for that one. Yeah.
So Gillian Anderson was coming over. Castan Square looks to be one of the locations for this futuristic, it's easy for me to say, thriller, directed by John Wright. Now, Katie, you've been doing a bit of Googling this afternoon, haven't you?
I've been reading about this film. I've never heard of it, ever.
No, so no, it was called just Our Robot Overlords.
But they did eventually change the title to just Robot Overlords.
Okay.
They dropped the hour.
Okay.
But I read about the plot. You're looking at a future-like world where we have implants and our robot overlords will electrocute us if we go out of our...
Oh,
districts,
bounds.
Yeah. So the plot includes stepping outside has the risk of being vaporized.
Ooh, harsh.
So don't leave Castletown.
That's what it's saying, pretty much. Yeah.
It says here a group of kids join the resistance. Hot on their heels is their old teacher turned robot, Mr. Smythe.
That is like a student nightmare, isn't it?
So I'm guessing Sir Ben Kingsley, nonetheless, was he Mr. Smythe?
I don't think he was. I don't recognise the names of the other cast members.
Okay, so hit us with some reviews.
So, was actually reviewed by Mark Kermode, for The Observer, and he said it was a slightly more sweary episode of Doctor Who.
Ooh.
Oh, which is not a bad review.
That's not a bad sell.
I mean, I don't
stars.
Like Doctor Who, so...
Well, yeah, I think if you don't, like... Doctor Who, you're probably not watching a science fiction film anyway.
Yeah.
About robots.
Okay.
And a reviewer for the Daily Telegraph said, unfortunately, despite the best efforts of its cast, the film just isn't that good.
That's brutal.
I've heard some people say that about the podcast. the other story on the front page that week was about St. George's winning Manx Football's Premier League. So that was in 2013. So they've won it every year since till this season. It's the first time. I think they won 10 in the last 12 years.
That's a big deal.
So St. Mary's won it this year, of course. But yeah, there's a lovely picture of Sean Quay receiving the Premier League trophy on the front there. But yeah, that was this week in history in 2013. Well, Good job, Katie.
Well, I was trying to think what I was doing in 2013. So I looked on Facebook in the memories. And the only thing I could find from around this period in 2013 was watching Eurovision Song Contest in Argentina with some friends. And I'd made them chips, cheese and gravy.
Ooh,
for food. Nice.
But
I was sharing amongst delicacy with them.
Doing the island proud.
Yeah.
Perhaps the island man should enter Eurovision.
I'm sure Sam would happily enter it. He loves the song.
We could maybe start a campaign for that, can we? But I know it's Eurovision this weekend, isn't it?
Can't wait.
It's Israel, isn't it?
In Israel, in Tel Aviv.
Tel Aviv.
Mm-hmm. So they might not have won at netball, but they have got the Eurovision.
we our friendship group, we used to have like parties and you dress up as a country.
Oh, we did that. I was Serbia a few years ago.
Edgy. So, did anyone see in the semi-finals for this Eurovision this week?
I missed Tuesdays, but I'm watching tonight's.
They were flipping awful, to quote you.
I heard Georgia didn't get through, and they were my friend's favourite.
There was
everything went on fire.
I literally watched it for 5 minutes. I thought I was having a moment, because I put the telly on.
A senior moment.
Yeah, a senior moment. And there was a man in green, dressed in green, with a plastic beard. So the rest of his face is normal, but with a plastic beard. Okay. And next to him was another gentleman in green, on his tippy toes, belly dancing.
Okay.
And the song was very, how should I put this? If you imagine a seagull going through a blender, it's quite whaley. So it was a bit like that, yeah.
Yeah.
What country was that?
Portugal. When I thought Portugal...
They won it the year before.
You know your Eurovision.
I love Eurovision.
So I thought they'd be in the mix, as it were, but it was absolutely dreadful.
That's so
and
bad.
There's certain countries that are put straight
I
through.
I think they're called the Big Five. So the UK is one. You've got the UK, France, Italy, I think Spain, and
is Australia back in?
Yes.
Oh, for flip's sake!
Well, to be honest, they make consistently good songs.
Yeah, but they're not Eurovision level.
Oh. I know, but they really get into the spirit of Eurovision. And that, for me, is what's important. I mean, I think if you... Certain countries are probably not in Europe, technically.
Australia is definitely not in Europe.
So, I mean...
Even Jess knows that.
Thanks.
But I was going to say to you, I can see why Australia... Cause if you think about... It tends to be a rite of passage, isn't it? You go on Neighbours, then you release a record, and then you become a world-famous actor. And stroke...
Just like Holly Valance.
Holly Valance. The only one that really hasn't kicked on... Is Stefan, what's his, Stefan Dennis, is it? The guy that plays Paul Robinson, who sort of has been in Neighbours, released a song, left Neighbours, came back to Neighbours, still in Neighbours.
Wasn't he an ugly Betty?
Who knows? He's a tremendous actor.
Yeah.
Because those of you, I don't want to bore
you. Love your soaps, don't you?
I love my Neighbours. He lost a leg in Neighbours, right? But I know for a true story that Stefan Dennis has two legs. But
His acting
is unbelievable.
Was it good?
And he never stops from doing anything.
Do you watch Eurovision in New Zealand?
No, we didn't even know. I didn't know it existed until I came
over. Is that a your family thing, though, or is it like a whole of New Zealand thing?
No, a whole of New Zealand thing. And I when I was living in Spain, I was living with some people from Honduras, and they were like, what is this thing? So we sat down and watched it, and they didn't know. So it's kind of like a similar thing with New Zealand. Why would we know?
Why not? It is a cultural... explosion.
I remember probably like the oddest song I remember is it was France and they were singing about mustaches.
Oh, the mustache song. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I love Loreen, who won for Sweden with Euphoria a few years ago. At my friend's wedding they played Euphoria, and then
what a tune. I
went
like
into Darude Sandstorm, but it was phenomenal. It was like the best 7 minutes
of
the wedding.
She's got quite a lot of good music, actually.
Yeah. I feel like we're going slow.
Sorry.
But those of you who enjoyed the Eurovision special, please do get in touch. Right, moving from Eurovision, Casey, to your other specialism, Manx Words. And we'll kick off with... Should we look at last week's first? And then okay, so last week's Manx Word was skeet, which most of us
knew. So we had skeet, we had nyack, which was news. Nyack. And then to ask someone if they have the news. So, you know, after Eurovision, I'll say to Jess... Vel Nyack, Ed, do you have any news? And then Jess will tell me, yes, I can tell you all about Eurovision.
In Manx, of course.
Definitely going to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. That looks like the face of a woman is definitely going to watch Eurovision.
She definitely will.
She totally am.
So this week's word is totally changing subject. So don't be looking for any sort of link.
There's never a link in any of these things.
So this week's way, I'm going to have a crack at it, and you can put me wrong. Etlan.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's good.
Jess.
Etlan.
Yeah,
I think
it's a pretty.
It sounds a bit like a Disney character, doesn't it?
Etlan.
The Adventures of Etlan, the magical lamp. Or something. Do you know what I mean?
Etlan,
Pixar,
the magical lamp.
Disney thing. Yeah. The lamp that was left on for
well,
3 years.
Kind of like it could be what happened after Aladdin.
Yes.
What happened once Genie was freed?
So you had the magic...
Spoilers.
Sorry.
Well, that went straight to DVD.
Because some of them do have weird names. Like I'm thinking Wally.
Wally?
Wally.
Please don't.
Don't go down that route. Okay. Backtrack.
We might have to go through you with what actually... They probably make more sense when you pronounce them properly.
But the word Etlan is actually connected to the front page on 2013 that we've just looked at. But that's by complete... Coincidence. Because I just picked it because I'm going on my holidays.
Again?
Yes.
Right, so you're not here next
week. Where are you going?
Well, hang on. Well, let's just hear how Culture Vanning goes. We keep getting sidetracked. Culture Vanning, this is how you should say Etlan.
Etlan?
We were close. I'm going to say that's
a
good
effort. The closest we've ever been.
8 out of 10.
Yeah.
A solid eight.
Like, you can't hope for any more than that, can you?
No, but I want to know, where are you going?
Rome! It's my birthday, I'm going to Rome!
We're going to talk about that in a minute, aren't we? You know, how do we always end the show? This is why a producer, she would be going bananas.
She would be going crazy. I'm
when
sorry,
she listens to this, she's going to be banging her head against a table.
Yeah, the three listeners we have won't be coming back after this one, will they?
I think one of them's her fiancé as well.
Oh, so, they're not going to spend the money on the roaming, are they? They're not going to listen this week either, anyway. So, I think that's about it for this week. You know, we've cut a lot of ground.
We have.
Not a lot of it has connections with the Isle of Man, but we have gone into the Eurovision Neighbours, Paul Robinson. That was mostly just me. other things like that, which potentially have no connection to the Isle of Man, but there you go. What have we got coming up this week, guys? Jess, you've been out and about a lot today.
So I have, yeah.
I'm expecting good things next week in next week's papers.
Oh, wow. No pressure. So this morning I went and spoke to a lovely woman whose husband, he suffers from Alzheimer's. Because it's Dementia Awareness Week next week, I'm going to get that out and so that way people kind of understand the illness. But also from a carer's point of view, because often we hear what it does to a person, but what about the carer? I mean, that's their job, full-time job, is looking after somebody.
Mm. Yeah,
yeah.
And anything else on your... What was your Vox Pop today?
Oh, yeah, so Vox Pop. So we were looking at... So Howard Quayle, our chief minister, he announced that there's going to be a climate change bill coming out in next Tynwald's. Mm. And so we went out, because one of the things mentioned in it is that they're going to ban petrol and diesel cars by 2040. Mm. So we asked people if they would ever consider buying an electric car.
Mm. And you all will be revealed on that
answer.
Oh,
yes. It's all a mystery until Tuesday. The examiner.
And the same with your Alzheimer's story, is it?
Yes, that'll be an examiner too.
Good luck. I'll look forward to reading that. Katie, anything coming up on the distribution plate, as it were?
Yep, we are still looking for subscribers for TT News.
You can never have too many, can you?
No. So, basically, TT News is three...
glorious,
wonderful, shiny magazines about the TT.
Yep.
And from, you can subscribe from £10.30, and that would include three editions and a copy of the Isle of Man Examiner with all the senior race day coverage in it.
Of course.
If you are interested in a subscription or sending something for, maybe you've got friends that live in the UK and they want
or
to catch
further afield.
Up, people in Australia want them.
Yeah. Where's our furthest
Australia?
Subscribe? Australia.
Tasmania.
Don't tell us. She won't
it's
be.
Not Paul Robinson.
Oh, that would have been a bloody lovely link to us.
Maybe Attenborough wants one. I don't know.
Yes.
Remember, his name is actually Stephen Dennis. So I'm guessing he doesn't get his TT News subscription.
It's
Paul Robinson.
He likes to go by the name Paul. So call me by Paul.
So if people want to do that, how can they?
They can email me at katie.kitchener@iomtoday.co.im or 01624-695-649.
I just love how you've got like a natural sing-songy way of
I'm really
doing
happy.
That.
It's because it's Eurovision. It's Eurovision weekend, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if you want to get in touch and let us know your thoughts on Steph and Dennis, or in fact Eurovision, or even maybe the bottleneck car park, please do get in touch this week on IOM News Podcast on Instagram and of course on the Twitters. Reminder, you can get all of our... If you can't get yourselves down to the newsagents, do remember you can get them on our website, and there's a digital edition, so you don't even get the print on your thumbs that way, do you?
Yeah.
No, the ink.
The ink.
Yeah. Not that, unless you've got really wet hands, I don't think you're getting that much ink on your thumbs when reading one of our newspapers.
No.
Maybe. So. Jury's still out for me on that one.
Bit of a science experiment coming on now.
We can maybe try that one next week. If you can go on to iomtoday.co.im, click on my third favourite tab on the website, which is, of course, digital editions, and they're all there, ready for you to buy.
With Go Green.
With Go Green for free.
Yep.
As
amazing.
A bonus.
Put that in as a bonus, yeah.
As a bonus.
Treat yourself.
Even the courier, that's there every week for free as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. If Katie can't be bothered delivering your courier that week, just go on there, have a look.
Because I do them all myself.
To the machine.
Right, that's it for this week's shambolic episode.
Sorry.
Please do tune in next week when Sam and Emma will hopefully be back to study.
And I'll be gone.
And you're gone because, the trip that we not actually discussed, that we said we were going to discuss, when you go to Rome.
Yeah, I'm going to Rome on Thursday.
It's a big courier around that one.
Romans need the courier.
Yeah. So you won't be here for next week's podcast?
No. No, I won't, no.
Cue sad violin music.
Only for you.
Right, on that bombshell.
Bye for now.